be pardoned for your crime. And I think we need a constitutional amendment to say just that. But you know what? James Madison was right. I must end where I opened. We don't need to amend the Constitution. There is a ready-made answer already there, my friends. And you know it as well as I do. Say it with me as we all say it together.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House National Security Advisor meets with more than a dozen Republican senators today to encourage support for the Bush administration's policies in Iraq. The Senate is debating funding for the war and a Democratic amendment to begin withdrawing troops. In Islamabad, Pakistani forces are in the final stages this morning of a two-day siege against Islamic militants in the Red Mosque compound. At least 62 have died since troops stormed the facility yesterday shortly before dawn. Congress has received its first report from the Justice Department describing six FBI techniques for gathering data on possible terrorist suspects and other criminals. The account was mandated by the renewal of the Patriot Act in 2005. On Capitol Hill, the Bush administration's former Surgeon General told a House committee his opinions and programs were repeatedly stifled by political considerations. Dr. Richard Carmona said his judgments on stem cell research, sex education, and the so-called morning after pill were censored by the White House. In Libya, the Supreme Court today upheld the death penalty for six Bulgarian nurses and a Palestinian doctor convicted of infecting 400 children with HIV. However, restitution payments have been approved for the families of those children, which may lead to a lesser sentence at a later date. In London, prosecutors say they'll retry two terrorism suspects after a jury announced yesterday it was unable to reach a verdict in the men's case. Sentenced to life in prison are four others convicted earlier this week on charges they plotted to bomb London transport systems in 2005. Wildfires continue to scorch western states. Dozens of blazes are being fed by high winds and triple-digit heat waves. Residents of Coffeyville, Kansas, returned to their flooded town today, some for the first time in more than 2 weeks. The community was evacuated when record-high floodwaters, sewage, and oil inundated the region. Mayors from more than 225 U.S. cities are petitioning a congressional committee to drop an amendment to a law enforcement bill they say makes it difficult to track illegal guns. The amendment sets confidentiality limits on information collected by the ATF. TV and movie character actor Charles Lane has died of natural causes in his Santa Monica home. He was 102. You're listening to QNN.
Hueyhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. I just wonder why you think it's important to bank in a local bank.
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah. Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but, of course, the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week, yes.
Taking money out.
Taking money out and putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in a wheelbarrow.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
U.S. Senators Arlen Specter and Jeff Bingaman today are expected to introduce legislation forcing industry to cut greenhouse emissions 20% by the year 2030. Affected would be steelmakers, power companies, and oil refineries. A giant squid measuring 26 feet long, 3 feet wide, and weighing 550 pounds was found today on a Tasmanian beach. The largest squid recorded in modern times was caught in the same waters earlier this year. The jury hearing fraud and embezzlement charges against former media tycoon Conrad Black says it is deadlocked after 9 days of deliberations. The judge has ordered the panel to reconsider. Microsoft yesterday offered 6 security patches for computer users. The company labeled 3 of those as critical, Microsoft's highest rating for software fixes. Korea-based Samsung Electronics is expected to post a 15% decline in quarterly profit. However, the world's leading memory chip maker says its outlook is good. The price of personal computer DRAM chips is predicted to rise. Levi Strauss announced its quarterly profit rose 14% on earnings of $45.7 million. San Francisco-based company credited demand for its Dockers and Levi clothing brands. Light sweet crude is trading at $72.65 a barrel. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps then go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is that any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, hey, welcome aboard, everybody. It's Wednesday here on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia. And yes, we're back. It's live. Sorry about the last couple of days. Monday, I kind of had a bit of a noise problem in the Sydney studio, and funny, it was a power cable that I didn't build, decided to fail. But anyway, I found it, I had to tear the whole place apart, but it's so much better now. My studio is like all nice and tidy, it's all rearranged, it's so much more functional. The feng shui is just so much better. Anyway. and yesterday was just a cluster. But anyway, I'm really glad to be on. What was it Nigel said there, Bob? Hello, Wimbledon. I really wish I had caught that. Anyway, we got some stuff to do. It's not a green version of Foxed Up here today. We're gonna talk more about some financial stuff and. This came up in the chat room during Bob's show the other day, and I told a couple people that I had some stuff about the banks and the economy and whatnot, and this is kind of like the unspoken taboo subject when it comes to, you know, monetary policy and really, you know, the Bush administration and people would love to try and make you believe that, you know, the economy is strong. Well, I'll tell you what, it ain't. In fact, we are so close to a financial crash that is going to make the Great Depression look like a walk in the park. It's frightening. And there was even a piece in my other life outside of radio, I guess we'll do a little bit of inside baseball here. You know,
as you all know, many of you know, I do the Horns website, and I build websites for a living. And my one real corporate client, being that most of the sites that I do are for journalists, but I have this one corporate client that we get into some interesting conversations. And these folks specialize in, you know, tax stuff, and really they're a headhunting agency for tax professionals. But so I kind of bounce some of this stuff at them because you know, I want to know how they feel about it. So you'll remember a couple weeks ago I read from a piece from Mr. Richard Cook where he talked about the imminent demise of the U.S. and the world economies. And so I sent him this article, you know, via email to the office right next door. And he read it, and he came in, and he said, you know, there's a lot to be said. You know, he said, there's a lot to what this guy's saying. And not but 2 days later, I'm in the office, and he comes walking in with the business section from, it was either the Australian or the Sydney Morning Herald, and tosses it down in front of me. Front page article, world bankers worried about an imminent crash. Now, we don't hear about this in the broadcast mainstream media at all. And it might have something to do with how much advertising income the broadcast networks get from the big banks. And it's not necessarily the individual banking institutions, but we're talking about like the reserve banks here, okay? And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, the Federal Reserve, the United States Federal Reserve, is no more federal than Federal Express, okay? It is a private corporation with private shareholders, private member banks that we're not allowed to know who they are, who control our money supply. Okay? And the thing that makes this, you know, it's like the greatest scam ever put upon the Western world is this concept that a private company has the monopoly right to control a nation's money supply, and that we as a people through our government have to take loans from the private bankers in which to run government, which we then have to pay back as interest. So all the federal taxes that you pay every year are actually paying for the profits of private bankers. Okay? And this is a system, you know, that all... We constantly hear, you know, sustainable growth. Well, sustainable growth is a fallacy as well. And the reason why they need the sustained growth is they just need to keep pumping more air into this system that is built on nothing but air. And you combine in the hedge funds, which, you know, we're repeating things that happened, you know, before the Great Depression, where the stock market is completely funded by leveraged investment, you know, where, you know, way less than half, less than 30%, maybe even only 10% of the value of the stock market is in actual value. The rest of it's all borrowed. And we've been funding this thing through cheap credit for the past some 30 years. And Mr. Richard Cook has a follow-up piece, and I'll tell you, there's a blog that Gail and I have recently discovered. Actually, Gail discovered, and I think it needs to go onto everyone's daily surfing list. And it's called Dissident News, and it's at dissidentnews.wordpress.com. And this is a phenomenal website. This is a really, really great blog. A lot of really, really good writers. They pull in stuff. It's kind of like op-ed news in a way. They pull stuff from various different sources. But there's there's a lot of content in there. And not exactly sure how long these folks have been going. I don't think it's been that long. But it's, I mean, this is a jam-packed, you know, it's got a lot of that, you know, news you're not supposed to know kind of news. But we're going to get into this a little bit further after we get back from the break. And we're also going to revisit a track of the day today, which I've played before, because this song's been running through my head ever since Bush, you know, bought Scooter Libby's Silence. And but we'll go there a little bit later. So stick around, folks. We're going to talk about the crash coming for the U.S. economy right here on Fox Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country that bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Now that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
that. Awesome, Bob. I knew that had to be the drive-bys. There's only one noise quite like that, and that has to be the drive-by truckers. But anyway, welcome back to Foxed Up here, folks. I had a little bit of a hoedown rock out there. That was awesome. They are a fantastic sound. I really, really dig that noise. Okay, we're gonna get into this banker thing here in earnest, probably after the bottom of the hour break. But, you know, I was mentioning that the piece that I'm going to get into is at dissidentnews.wordpress.com. There's a link on today's show post for the piece. And, you know, after Joe's show or, you know, at some point during the day, do yourself a favor. Go to the page, and there's a bit of a YouTube video that I suggest you watch. And if you haven't watched the film that Bob was talking about last week, Zeitgeist, I suggest you watch that film as well. And then there is always The Money Masters, which you can also find on YouTube, or actually on Google Video in its full form. And all of these do a very, very good job of explaining exactly what this Federal Reserve System is and what a scam it is. And they also get into the simple fact that the amendment that gave us federal income tax very well was probably never ratified. Okay? And, you know, so, I mean, seriously, this is the biggest scam. And, you know, nothing makes money for the bankers like a good old war. And, you know, this gets into the heart of the situation that we're in. Okay? You know, it's really, really... It's heavy stuff. It's not exactly the most fun or, you know, exciting stuff. But I'll tell you what, when you get into it, there's only one reaction you can have, and that's getting damned angry. Because you come to the realization that so much of your blood, sweat, and tears in life are actually going into the back pockets of a handful of people. And it's not just the United States. Australia is the same. I have this argument with people all the time. You know, I say, do you realize that the central bank is not a government agency? And they go, of course it is. It's like, no, it's not. It's not. And just because you've been told it is, or not even told that it is, the fact that you have been led to believe and trained to believe it to be this way does not make it true. It's like WMDs. It's like Saddam and 9/11. Just because it's been spun that way for you does not mean that that's how it is. In fact, you know, most of what we come to understand by our education system, by our media over the past, you know, few decades, most of it is a load of crap. Now, speaking of loads of crap, George W. Bush and Scooter Libby. Now, I'm going to get the track of the day out of the way so I can get into the heart of this thing. I've had this song running through my head ever since Bush bought Scooter's Silence. And this song has to do all about hypocrisy. And this is, I've done this song before, and it's from Tool off of 10,000 Days. It's the song called The Pot, as in the pot calling the kettle black. And there's a line in here that I just love, and it says, liar, lawyer, mirror, show me, what's the difference? Kangaroo done hung the guilty with the innocent. And the repeat of that later says, kangaroo, he's as guilty as the government. And I just think that this song so applies. This just so applies. So without further ado, my favorite modern rock and roll, bloody progressive, make a big noise band, possibly of, maybe of all time, Tool and The Pot. Roll it, Bob.
Who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out your hair. I hold deep in muddy waters. You practically raised the dead. Rob the grave to snow the cradle, then burn the evidence down. Soapbox house of cards and glass, so don't go tossing your stones around. You must have been.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view. With Bush stiff-arming Congress with yet another specious claim of executive privilege, the imperative of impeachment is beginning to be felt even among the politicians, who are way behind the American people on this one. A poll came out over the weekend that showed 45% in favor of impeaching Bush and a whopping 54% in favor of impeaching Cheney. What makes these numbers even more amazing is that no Democratic Party leader has been promoting this cause. Far from it. Only Dennis Kucinich, of all the Democratic candidates, has come out for the impeachment of Cheney. Obama, to his discredit, said he opposes impeaching either Cheney or Bush. "I think you reserve impeachment for grave, grave breaches," he said, "and intentional breaches of the president's authority." Well, let's take a look here. Lying to Congress and the American people about weapons of mass destruction to justify a war isn't a grave or intentional breach? Come on, Obama. Eavesdropping on Americans here at home without a warrant when the law says you must have a warrant isn't a grave or intentional breach? Come on, Obama. Using the powers of the U.S. attorneys to file flimsy charges against Democrats so as to alter an election and firing those who want to play ball? That isn't a grave or intentional breach? Come on, Obama. And come on, John Edwards and Hillary Clinton and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. The impeachment train is leaving the station. Get on board. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And yeah, I think Bob's right. It's kind of that tool. It's just kind of like dunking your head into ice water. Well put. I'm telling you, just the thought that goes into what that band does just sometimes really, really blows my mind. And it makes 5-year waits for albums completely worth it. If you like progressive rock stuff, and meaning progressive, you know, just the stuff that's tight and well thought and goes outside of the normal structure, 10,000 Days is so worth the purchase price. And the two-part title track, 10,000 Days and Part 2, 10,000 Days, Wings for Marie, is something to behold. It'll never make it to radio because it's like in its two parts it's almost 20 minutes, but 10,000 Days equals a little over 7 years, which is the amount of time that the lead singer's mother spent in a coma before she passed away. And the two-part piece is his farewell to her, and I'm telling you, when you clue into the lyrics, it will give you goosebumps, and it very possibly could drive you to tears. It's one of the most intense and gorgeous things, and yet it has its angry moments, because he was very angry at a god that she praised so much that would possibly do this to her. And it was, and it's a theme that Maynard revisited often throughout the Tool records and also with the Perfect Circle. But anyway, getting on to what we're on about. Okay, from Dissident News, this piece from Richard C. Cook. The crashing U.S. economy held hostage. Our economy is on an artificial life support system. And he opens it saying, remember when the U.S. was the world's greatest industrial democracy? Barely 30 years ago, the output of our producing economy and the skills of our workforce led the world. What happened? It's hard to believe that in the space of a generation, our character and capabilities just collapsed, as, for example, did our steel and automobile industries and our family farming. What, then, are the causes of the decline? Here's how I would put it today. Our economy is on an artificial life support system, a barely breathing hostage in a lunatic asylum. The asylum is the U.S. and the world financial systems, which are on the verge of collapse. The inmates are the world's central bankers, along with most of the financial magnates, big and small. The fact is that the economy of much of the world is in a decisive downward slide, which the financiers cannot stop because the systems they operate are the primary cause. As often happens, the inmates rule the asylum. The problems aren't confined to the U.S. Unemployment worldwide is increasing, debt is rampant, infrastructures are crumbling, and commodity prices are rising. In such an environment, crime, welfare, terrorism, and other forms of violence are endemic. Only the most naive, self-centered, and deluded jingoist could describe such a scenario in terms of the freedom-loving Western democracies as being besieged by the bad guys. Rather, what is happening highlights the growing failures of Western globalist finance, whose impact on political stability has been so corrosive. As many responsible commentators are warning, we are likely to see major financial shocks within the next few months. The warnings are even coming from high-flying institutional players like the Bank of International Settlements and the International Monetary Fund. We may even see the end of an era when the financiers ruled the world. At a certain point, governments or their military and bureaucratic establishments are likely to stop being passive spectators to the onrushing disorder. It's already happening in Russia and elsewhere. The countries that will be least able to master their own destiny are those like the U.S., where governments have been most passive to economic decomposition from actions of their financial sectors. The financiers are the ones who, for the last generation, have benefited most from the economies marked by privatization, deregulation, and speculation. But that may be about to change. Whether the change will be constructive or catastrophic is yet to be seen. It gets into the fact that, you know, the U.S. economy survived for a long time because of the housing bubble. And that's about to go. Within the U.S., foreign investors, above all communist China, have been propping up our massive trade deficit and physical deficits with their capital. To keep them happy, interest rates, after 6 years of cheap credit, must now be kept relatively high. Otherwise, the Chinese, and all of them, might bail out, leaving us to fend for ourselves with our hollowed-out shell of an economy. Even so, these investors are increasingly uneasy with their dollar holdings and are bailing out anyway. Foreign purchase of U.S. securities has plummeted, and our debt-laden economy, where our manufacturing base has been largely outsourced, is no longer capable of providing our own population with a living by utilizing our own productive resources. Okay? We don't make anything anymore. You know, this goes down to all the unions, you know, our whole pro-union thing. You know, we don't manufacture anything anymore. We become this service economy where we're constantly just, you know, adding a profit onto somebody else's labor, and you cannot sustain this kind of stuff. And he says, for a while we were floating on a housing bubble, but these days are now history, when according to a Merrill Lynch study, the artificially pumped up housing industry as late as 2005 accounted for 50% of the U.S. economic growth. And that's insane. That's absolutely insane. As everyone knows, the Federal Reserve under Chairman Alan Greenspan used the housing bubble like a steroid drug to pump liquidity into the economy. This worked at least for a while because consumers could borrow huge amounts of money at relatively low interest rates for the purchase of homes and for taking out home equity loans to pay off their credit cards, finance college education for their children, buy new cars, etc. When the final history of the housing bubble is written, the beginnings will be dated as early as 1989-1990, when credit restrictions on the purchase of real estate first began to be eased. According to mortgage industry insiders interviewed for this article, they began to be taught the methods for getting around consumers' weak credit reports and selling them homes anyway in the to late 1990s. And it got worse. Okay? Also, according to mortgage specialists, it was in March 2001, 2 months after George W. Bush became president, or was installed, as most of us know, that a wave of intoxicated fraud started. Mortgage companies began to be instructed by the creditors and lenders on how to package loan applications as master strokes of forgery so that completely unqualified buyers could purchase homes. This, again, just continues to be more hot air into a system that cannot sustain itself. And you have people completely overextended. Foreclosures are happening in areas that they never happened before. He says, and it's not just lower-income purchasers who are affected. The Washington Post has reported that for the first time in living memory, foreclosures are happening in Washington's affluent suburban neighborhoods in places like Fairfax, Loudoun, and Montgomery counties. The subprime bonds were known to be suspect. One reason was that they were based on adjustable-rate mortgages that were actually time bombs, scheduled to detonate a couple of years later with monthly payments hundreds of dollars a month higher than they were written. Many of these mortgages will reset to higher payments this October. And the White House knew about this stuff, okay? You know, this hasn't gone unbeknownst to people that could have done something about it. He continues here, Amy Gluckman, an editor of Dollars and Cents, reported in the November-December 2006 issue, during the Clinton administration, Greenspan was relatively unembedded, averaging only one meeting per month at the White House. But when George W. Bush moved into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Greenspan's behavior changed. During 2001, he averaged 3.3 White House visits a month, more than triple his rate under Clinton, and much more often with high-level officials like Vice President Dick Cheney. His visits rose to 4.6 a month in 2002 to 5.7 in 2003. Okay? Let's let the dumb public feel like they're doing well, be happy, buying homes, getting themselves into debt, so we can continue to go on and wage illegal wars, make huge profits, and get more profits off of the people's income taxes. And the housing bubble's gonna, you know, it's gonna blow. It's gonna blow. And it's not going to be good. And who's going to make out? Those same key handful of bankers. Because they'll be able to buy all this stuff up. Corporations, land, all of this at dirt cheap prices. And they'll continue to profit off of it unless some serious reform takes place. Unless we actually take control of our currencies and our monetary systems. You know, this is supposed to be an environmental program, but there are certain times when I have to really pull off the subject because there are underlying factors of why things are just so completely misguided. And it's because those who control the money control the government. And that's a frightening, frightening concept to really get your head around. So we're going to pop out for our final break, and I'm going to wrap this up. During the break, I'm going to kind of pick through a few bits, because this is a huge article, and you really need to go and read this for yourself. Mr. Cook has been writing a lot about this in recent weeks, and I really think that this is something that needs to be dealt with. And unfortunately, it's both sides of Congress that turn a blind eye to what's going on, and they're not looking out for us. And like I said, the same thing's happening here in Australia. Foreclosures are on the way up, but yet you have a government that says, but people own stuff. They own land. Well, they don't actually own it. It's bought on credit up to the hilt, and over half of their income is just to pay their mortgages. And that goes beyond any kind of rational type of, you know, household budgeting. It doesn't work. So we're going to go out to this break, and when we come back, I'm going to get through a little bit more of this before we wrap it up for the day. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, and we will be right back after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up with John Fox at 10 a.m. Eastern, where we'll take a closer look at Jeff Beckley.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We'll hear from Jeff, in his own words, his thoughts on artistic creativity, his jazz influence, and on spirituality.
I'm not so sure that some guy in the sky with a beard baked you in an oven and put his finger in your belly button and that's how you came about.
We'll even hear that Nina Simone track that John Fox mentioned. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. I go to peacecorps.gov.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Wow, we've been everywhere today, Bob. Welcome back, everybody. Okay. Gonna just hit a few more points before we get out of here. Now, I mentioned that the hedge funds are a huge problem with this, and one of the big problems that we have with the economy is that we don't have any new engines to run things. You know, as the housing market bubble, you know, goes kapoof. You know, the last major new engine was the internet, and that's really leveled off, and you've got a few major players left as the smaller folks, you know, have been pushed out, and it, you know. Anything that's new goes huge, and then it settles. But we have no new engines going on. And here Mr. Cook gets into the hedge funds. He says, the Wall Street hedge funds stand out as the most irresponsible finance scams in history. unregulated and secretive. They account for a third of all stock trades. They own $2 trillion in assets and pay their individual managers over $1 billion a year. Think about that the next time someone you know has their job outsourced to China, or his adjustable rate mortgage resets and drives up his monthly house payment past the level of affordability. The hedge funds borrow huge sums from the banks, which generate loans under the Federal Reserve sanctioned fractional reserve privileges, which means that for every dollar that they have in so-called real money, they can then loan 10. Often this money is used by the hedge funds to short the market, thereby earning profits when the stock market decline, and then stock prices decline. In other words, the hedge funds and their banking enablers use banking leverage to bet against the producing economy. In doing so, they may actually drive stock prices down, causing ordinary investors to lose a portion of their own wealth. Can this be called anything other than a crime? And I don't think that it can. You know, it's just insane. The livelihood of much of the U.S. workforce and perhaps half of the rest of the world's population, maybe 3 billion people, is being threatened by such financial lawlessness. The justification that was first used for financial deregulation and tax cuts for the rich was that the trickle-down effect of wealthy people's earnings would spill over to the rank and file. The Reagan administration ushered in these policies in the 1980s under the heading of supply-side economics. But the opposite has happened. The system has institutionalized an increasingly stratified worldwide culture of haves and have-nots. And how did today's looming tragedy come to pass? Looking for causes is like peeling an onion. What we are already seeing are the terminal throes of a failed financial system almost a century old. It's happening because since the creation of the Federal Reserve System in 1913, even during the period of the New Deal, when the Keynesian economics aimed at full employment, our economy has been based almost entirely on fractional reserve banking. This means that under the regime of the world's all-powerful central banking systems, money is brought into existence only as debt-bearing loans. Interest on this lending tends to grow exponentially unless overtaken by real economic growth. Remember that every instance of bank lending, from purchases of treasury bonds to credit cards to home mortgages to billion-dollar loans to hedge funds for leveraged buyouts or sheer speculation, must eventually be paid back somewhere, somehow, sometime by somebody with interest. In this end, it all comes back to people who work for a living, whether in the U.S. or elsewhere, because that is the only way world community ever creates real wealth. In an anemic economy like that of the U.S., growth cannot catch up with interest in a deregulated financial marketplace where interest rates are high. Rates must not seem high compared with, say, the 20% plus rates of the early 1980s, but they are high in an economy with, at best, 2% GDP growth rate. And this is one of those things where, you know, we see similar spin by the right side here in Australia as you would in the United States. You know, they'll say you can't trust the left with the economy because remember when they had interest rates that were way through the roof. However, gross domestic product, production was much higher. So those interest rates had a lot more to feed off of. And, you know, we just don't make anything anymore. And this has such a run-on effect. It's, you know, the only thing that's going to turn this around is real reform. And he says, there are many flaws in the system that it's time for a real change. As they've been pointing out in articles over the last several months, the key to a rational solution would be immediate monetary reform leading to a fundamental shift in how the world conducts its financial business. It would mean taking control of the world's economy out of the hands of the private bankers and giving it back to the democratically elected governments. I spent 21 years working, this guy, Mr. Cook spent 21 years working for the U.S. Treasury Department and studying U.S. monetary history. For much of our history, we were a laboratory for diverse monetary systems. And, you know, we tore down many a central bank in our history. And it's only been this Federal Reserve that has held on this long. You know, we don't have any gold backing any of it anymore. You know, I believe it was Nixon that got rid of the gold standard. Don't quote me on that. Not that was really anything, but, you know, our money used to say something different. It used to say, you know, redeemable by the bearer on demand for the gold that its value was. Not anymore. It's now just legal tender. It's only worth stuff because someone said that it is. And something's got to change. So with that, I got to wrap it up. We're coming very, very closely up on the end of things. And Joe Vecchio is coming up next, and he'll be waking you up if I haven't woken you up with Tool like a sledgehammer to the side of the head. And you definitely want to be here Friday for Billy Shears doing his thing on Jeff Buckley. It's excellent. And I think tomorrow's track of the day is actually going to be a something that Mr. Shears sent me. So, you know, thanks for being with me today. Thanks to Bob for producing today. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal radio. Go over there and do the right thing at the White Rose Society. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions for the music. Thank you to the Carpenters for helping us launch this network. Thank you to everyone who has made donations to the network. I can't even tell you how appreciated it is and how just... oh, wow, I'm blown away by what I've seen happen there. And, you know, it's because of you that we're going to be able to continue to do this, and I so appreciate it. So, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's... If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House National Security Advisor meets with more than a dozen Republican senators today to encourage support for the Bush administration's policies in Iraq. The Senate is debating funding for the war and a Democratic amendment to begin withdrawing troops. In Islamabad, Pakistani forces say they finished clearing Islamic militants out of the Red Mosque compound. At least 62 died during the two-day siege. 70-some insurgents were arrested. North Korea could begin dismantling its nuclear reactor Saturday. Pyongyang awaits a shipment of fuel oil and supervisors from the UN's nuclear watchdog agency. In Libya, the Supreme Court today upheld the death penalty for 6 Bulgarian nurses and a Palestinian doctor convicted of infecting 400 children with HIV. In London, prosecutors say they'll retry two terrorism suspects after a jury announced yesterday it was unable to reach a verdict in the men's case. Sentenced to life in prison are four others convicted earlier this week on charges they plotted to bomb London transport systems in 2005. A U.S. military judge today scheduled an August court-martial for the only officer charged in connection with the Abu Ghraib prison scandal. Six counts have been filed against the lieutenant colonel, who was director of the prison's interrogation center. A 61-year-old German woman taken hostage in Baghdad in February was released today. Her son remains captive. Islamic extremists are demanding German forces withdraw from Afghanistan. In southeast Afghanistan, three policemen and a civilian were killed today when Taliban rebels ambushed a U.S.-led convoy. In Bosnia and Herzegovina, 465 victims of the Srebrenica massacre will be buried today. The remains have been recently identified. The 1995 slaughter is considered the worst European war crime since World War II. Wildfires continue to scorch western states. Dozens of blazes are being fed by high winds and triple-digit heat waves. The National Transportation Safety